Hello, this is Candace from www.femalicious.com, Third Wave Muse and Fury. Today I had the opportunity to attend a session on emerging technology at the University of Windsor, presented by the Center for Flexible Learning. They're taking on an initiative to encourage podcasting by professors for the classroom, either recording lectures as they present them or as forewords and afterwards to accompany their in-class lectures. There were several departments of the university represented: chemistry, computer science, psychology, and myself from Women's Studies, among others. And there was certainly interest in people wanting to pursue this. A nice little aside, sitting beside me, Phil Dutton from chemistry was using his tablet. He had an HP tablet computer. It was very, very cool. The Center for Flexible Learning expressed an interest in getting some of these computers for faculty to use to replace the idea of the smart classroom, these massive consoles they have in some of the higher tech classrooms. If they had these tablets instead, then they could plug those into a projector with controls on the wall, and they would be able to work as overhead, and just really, they would fit better into the smaller classrooms where there isn't a whole lot of room for installing a console. But, you know, I just think they're pretty cool. I haven't actually gotten to touch one yet. I'm going to have to talk to Phil about that, see if he'll let me play with it sometime. The majority of the workshop was presented by Ron Richard, a senior instructional designer for the CFL. And many of the recordings that we listened to were Dr. Arnold. Many of the audio tracks we listened to were from Dr. Arnold, who's actually been doing a recording of his lectures for a number of years already. CFL, the Center for Flexible Learning, is hoping for full implementation in the future for distance ed courses and also for the on-campus courses. Now, already they have some lectures recorded on CDs that students purchase in the bookstore to accompany their texts. I've taken a couple of these distance ed courses where you listen to the CD audio lecture portion, read your textbook and either write your papers and submit them electronically online, or go to campus to write it, to write your exams. But this idea of podcasting a lecture would be not just for the distance ed courses. They used a PowerPoint presentation, and some of the slides were a bit misleading, although they later provided more information that cleared this up. You know, they made reference to the fact that the lectures could be downloaded onto portable devices, but, you know, without saying that, you know, you don't have to have a portable device. You can listen to these at your desktop or burn them to a CD, pop them in your car, you know, whatever you need to do. And they did make reference to the RSS feed idea, but they let people know later on that you do not have to use an RSS feed. You know, although it's certainly very handy, you know, to go through, they referenced iTunes, to get your, to have your podcasts come to you, it's certainly not required. Now, what they're thinking of doing is having several different ways that professors can put these up. They talked about having a catalog or directory style system where the audio is uploaded, students or the general public can scan through, see what's there, and then you know, choose what they want to hear, and then that some of these would then be available only to people with a U Windsor ID password, and then some of them would only be on class websites through the current Viki system, which would require you to be a student in a class and put onto the list by the professor. They're using the language podcast, which I realize is the current terminology that's popular, but I know there is interest in taking the branding out of podcast. I know that I do my best to call these audio casts, not podcasts, you know, under the big umbrella term webcast, just so that you can differentiate and, you know, leave room for the future between audio and video casts. A lot of people think that for podcasts you have to have an iPod, and, you know, certainly this isn't the case. There are lots of portable MP3 players that will work just as well, or differently, or maybe not as well, depending on your preference, what you're looking for. But certainly there are alternatives to the iPod. I cannot afford an iPod, but I certainly do download podcasts. I did make that point, and they were interested in how to get the branding out and try and clear up the misconceptions, but at this point, nobody really has any solutions. People call them podcasts. What are you, you know, what really can we do? They really want to encourage students to use the RSS once this does get rolling, that every time you refresh, your professor's current lecture will be sitting there waiting for you, rather than relying on the student to go out and find the lecture. I think a diligent student or somebody that wants to listen to their professor's lecture will do it, will find it. They will either, you know, subscribe through the RSS, or they will go through and bring it home. Some of the great ideas that came up were for students miss classes due to illnesses or, you know, compassionate circumstances. And rather than, you know, being totally out of the loop, it can be very difficult to catch up. This way, you know, you can catch the audio, you can catch the lecture. It's not the same as being in the classroom, but at least it's something. One of the big concerns, and this was touched on briefly, is will students stop coming to class if the lectures are available for download? And this was stated to not be the case at all. A lot of professors already put their notes on the web, you know, in the text format. And I find, you know, myself, having the notes, at least an outline of the notes, allows me to pay attention better in class. I'm not frantically writing down everything the professor says. I can't really pay attention when I'm busy writing because I don't know what's going to be on the exam. So having an outline that I just fill in or that I just can refer to afterwards is very helpful to me. Now, what was suggested as far as audiocasts go was that listening ahead of time, then coming to class, and being able to ask questions and participate will only reinforce the learning. And again, listening afterwards, repeating parts, you know, you can listen to it as many times as you want to or need to get a certain point or to listen to a part that's confusing. It was suggested that a professor needs to do more than lecture to get the students to want to come to class. There has to be more for them than just listening to professors speak for 3 hours. It does get kind of tiring. I have one of those this semester, and besides the fact that it's a night class, and by 9 o'clock, I am just wiped out. By the time 9 o'clock gets around, I'm so tired of sitting there and listening that I'm not taking anything in. Now, if that lecture was available for download, there's a chance that I might actually get something out of that last hour. Now, they did talk a little bit about the how-tos and how this could work in the classroom. Talked about putting an omnidirectional mic in the center of the room. But problems with this would be, you know, the professor is farther away from the mic than the students, so you're going to pick up a lot of the chatter. And also, you know, the students that, you know, speaking, you know, supposing that the students do make comments or have questions during the lecture, they're going to be a lot louder than the professor. So this was suggested not to be the best way to do this. During the session today, the speaker was actually wearing a wireless lapel mic, and was recording to a laptop at the front of the room. And, you know, we listened to that later on in the session, and that sounded like a great recording, you know, without any processing at all. You know, it was clear and functional. The mic is right on the body, so if the professor's wearing the mic, their voice will be the loudest and clearest. It sounded like that was what they were really encouraging. They also talked about having a mic popped into the top of the digital voice recorder. I know this is certainly another idea. Let's see. They did talk about the importance of choosing the mic, that having, you know, a fancy schmancy voice recorder, but a crummy mic really is not a good idea. That the quality of the mic is actually pretty much a determining factor for the sound quality you're going to end up with. A bunch of these people that were at this session today had actually been to the EDUCAUSE conference in Orlando. I guess some time was spent there on how to choose an appropriate mic, so I'm going to have to talk to somebody there and see what, you know, what actually was suggested. So what they're looking at here in Windsor is the Olympus WS100 digital voice recorder. They figure it runs about 120 Canadian. The thing about this, though, is it doesn't have any removable media. the piece that I carry has an SD card. I can pop it in, pop it out, pop it into my card reader on my desktop to transfer files. But yet I keep going. I have both internal memory and the external memory. So I always have that option. Mine's an RCA. They were talking down about RCA, saying that the Olympus is a lot better. What was really cool about the Olympus, though, is that it's in two pieces. You've got the guts part with all the buttons and the screen and the memory. And then the second part is the battery pack. They snap together. But when you take it apart, what's really cool about the guts is that it's a USB port. Pops right into your desktop, laptop, wherever you're going to be doing your processing and upload. And poof, away you go. No need for a card reader or cable to connect the two. So that was kind of cool. Now what they're saying also is omnidirectional mic is the way they want to go. They want to have the small ones that pop right into the top of the recorder, and they're figuring that's another $60 Canadian. So for $180 Canadian, they're figuring they can outfit a professor for recording a lecture. I talked a little bit about the length of processing and file formats. You know, basically that the older stuff is slower and the newer stuff is faster. But you know, I thought that was pretty self-evident. I think most people that are at this point are going to be aware of that. One of the cool things I talked about on this Olympus model was a hold button. So what you do is you set yourself up for recording. You click this hold button, and what it does is it locks all the other buttons. So once you've got the recorder in your pocket, it's not going to, you know, it's going to prevent any inadvertent activity. For example, you know, your keys bump into the recorder and hit stop, and then you're not recording anymore. Or on the other hand, you know, you start recording when you didn't mean to. So it's kind of a nice feature. Mine doesn't have that. Let's see. So what they're figuring is people will do the recording, and then they will either send a WMA file over to CFL, and they'll do the filtering, the volume, sound quality, all that, or else the professor could actually do their own MP3. You know, upload your own MP3 if you wanted to do your editing yourself. They do plan to support faculty that chooses to use this because it's new and they want to encourage it. So they have the technology and the staff right now on a small scale to help. But, you know, long term, they're going to need departments to, you know, really operate on their own for this. Now, the next issue that came up was licensing. And what Windsor's suggesting is a Creative Commons license that each professor will choose which license to apply to each file that they want to upload. So realizing that, you know, once a file is up there and out there, downloaded, you really don't have any more control over that. So, you know, right from, you know, attribution only licenses, which is what they've got as a default on this system, to, you know, all rights reserved, no distribution, no copying, etc. Basically, you know, Canadian copyright law as it stands right now, they're really going to leave that up to the professor. One of the other choices that they're playing with is having just available for academic, you know, research type idea. So, you know, use it for education, use it for research, but you can't do anything else with it. No distribution, no commercial use, nothing like that. So really what they're advocating is a share alike license in terms of Creative Commons Canada. Leaving the choice with the creator so that, you know, you don't have to have a standard across campus where everybody has the same. Or even the same from file to file. One of the things that they've added as a feature is a tempo adjust. So they have, they suggested that some professors speak really slowly, and they might do well with up to a 40% increase in tempo. So Graham Fawcett, the techie that I talked to today, said, looking through Audacity, found a nice little tempo boost feature in Audacity, followed it to the creator, and has borrowed that open source little piece to put into the software that they're going to be using. Now they claim that if all students downloaded, somebody was concerned with what would happen if all of the students ran home after the lecture and started downloading it immediately, and what would happen You know, is this going to clog the system, or what will happen? So what Graham figures is the hardware is going to melt down before we're going to have any server crash, that each file is downloaded as a static page, and it's just not going to be an issue. Now, you know, who knows? I think that's pretty positive, but, you know, I'd be happy to hope that too. They have looked into ideas of having files co-located, you know, some external hosting, something like that. But at this point, they've got one professor that they've been working with for a few years. Today, I heard 3 or 4 other professors put up their hands and say they would be very interested in doing this next semester. So at this time, I don't think it's going to be an issue. But, you know, definitely something that they have to plan for in the future, especially if this were to take off. I think it's pretty exciting. From a student perspective, I think it would make my life a lot easier. Like I said earlier, I really like the idea of being able to listen to the lecture more than once, being able to listen to it when I'm driving down the street. You know, I like listening to the podcasts I already subscribed to, but, you know, if I could get some study time in, that'd be pretty handy. Other features that they could add in the future would be some student space for student-created podcasts to go up. I'd love to see what, you know, what other students on campus are doing. I have no idea if any other University of Windsor students do an audio cast. I'm sure there are, but certainly this is something that they were open to and interested in discussing further. So today's idea was to assess the interest and give some basic information that, you know, the professors who turned up can take back to their faculties and to the departments to discuss. And now hopefully what they'll do is they'll buy a recorder and a mic, some sort of combo, probably this Olympus one they're looking at, providing enough equipment for each faculty to be able to rotate it among the professors that are interested, so that, you know, you could get it started. Now, then if it takes off in particular faculties, then it would be responsibility of the faculty to purchase more as they wanted, with support and recommendations from CFL. I thought that sounded reasonable. Now, I think in women's studies, this sort of thing would be particularly interesting just because of the emphasis on getting women's voices out there. At this point, it's emerging. It's brand new. There isn't a whole lot of rules about what goes and what doesn't go. So as far as it already being, you know, so, you know, even though some people say it's, you know, already dominated by male voices, I think there's a lot of room still. And, you know, we have a lot of professors who are pretty cutting edge. I think, you know, getting the tech focus in our department would be very exciting. I'm hoping to take this information back to the department. You know, talk about it a little bit, see who's keen, and then, you know, really, really help them get set up. Especially that 3-hour night class I have. I would really like to hear that one again. The other thing that I would really like to see is some of this recording equipment available to clubs. I know with Action Girls, club I'm involved with, we have group discussions on gender issues. I really want to be able to record those. So far, my equipment hasn't really allowed me to get a good quality recording, but, you know, with one of these omnidirectional mics, I'm sure I could get a lot better. And I think these would be interesting. Not only are they good promotion for the group, for people who are wondering, you know, what exactly it is that we do and what we talk about, you know, you could download one and hear one, but I think they really show what people are thinking at a certain time and in a certain place. And, you know, this is valuable. This is, you know, making history. So let's cement that. Let's make a record of that. Let's keep track of that. And I think this would be a great, great tool. And, you know, if the university is for the students and the idea of having the podcast for download is for the students, and, you know, the focus is becoming student directed and student oriented and learner-oriented and about improving the learning environment and improving the learning experience, then, you know, let us get our hands in there. You know, so many people I know are still afraid of technology. I don't know how can that be? It's 2005. What's to be afraid of anymore? I know it took me a long time to get rid of that fear of, am I going to break it? But you know what? I've gotten past that now. It's just hardware. You know, it's not life or death. And I'm done with being afraid of it. So yes, this is another podcast about podcasting. I know there's plenty of them out there, but you know, I think taking podcasts into the educational setting at the university level, I think it has a lot of adventures, and I'd really like to see where this goes. And I'm excited to see what CFL does with the feedback they got today and how they implement this podcasting next semester. So thank you for listening. This is Candace at www.femalicious.com.